Amen, amen, amen. God is so good all the time. Thank you, dear Sister Yvonne, Sister Inka, Sister that led us in prayer. Thank you so much. And the Lord will continue to reward your faithfulness for really, really hosting this line. Father, again, we are always thankful and grateful for your mercies towards us, your faithfulness that endures to all generations. Father, thank you. We are grateful for the grace that you've given us to hunger after you, to wait upon you, to desire more of you, and to be yielded vessel to that purpose for which we're created, for which we're born. So Father, have your way. Again, we yield to you, Holy Spirit, our teacher. Teach us, open our eyes, guide us, establish us in that which you're doing in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's exciting to always be on this line, and we thank God for the grace it's giving us. We have entered into a time that the Lord has been leading us towards our identity, you know, from last season. It was our image in Christ, empowering us to understand our sonship, to establish our foundations. And I see, I look back as God is unfolding some things for this season, I see why God has been really, really awakening us to those areas of identity and areas of, you know, knowing who we are in Christ and things like that. And by God's grace, we'll go more into that, but I now see why. And then a few weeks ago, we started looking at going back to the prophetic understanding of the number that seals, that brings things to an end, the number of completion, the number that brings things to an end, the number God used to set the cornerstone for every calendar, the number 7 that governs the week, what we call the week, at least our month. And now we talked about how that God has used that to become a prophetic, give us prophetic understanding of the seasons. So we looked at all that, and we talked how that led us to looking at Israel just turning 70, and we know that after 70, or after the number 7, a new day begins, or a new week begins, or a new era begins. So we looked at that, how the turning, this completion of this 70th year of Israel, we open a completely new era, or a new dispensation, or something new that God is about to do. So we looked at that, and so we are looking into entering a prophetic season. So today we want to look at some prayer points, and while we also looked at Israel 70 last week, we now looked at prophetically how God is giving us some things to pray about as we enter a new season. And we talked about we're entering into a prophetic season of God's visitation, how we should pray into and position ourselves into the times of visitation. And we'll give some examples that these visitations always come to manifest expectations, you know, and to bring about fulfillment of miraculous fulfillment of expectations. We talked about how Abraham had visitations that came to announce about a prophetic fulfillment after many years, and other people in the Bible, that Moses, people that had visitations that came to confirm that the dreams they had, the visions they had, the prophetic word they had, or the calling they had, that God has not forgotten them, and the miraculous visitations brought about a miraculous fulfillment. People like Zechariah and stuff like that. So, and then when these visitations come and bring about the beginnings of fulfillment, there's an acceleration that comes. So the first thing we need to establish as we're entering this new season or new beginnings, we need to pray for us to personally have this, for God to, we pray for us to be open to these visitations, whether it's a prophetic word or a dream, however way God comes, or an angel or the spirit, however way it comes, that we will be sensitive to it, and that we should be open to these miraculous breakthroughs that will lead to a season of literally an acceleration of events in our lives. We're talking about individually. Also, we pray for the church, and then we pray for the nation. Now, having said that as prayer points, I'll be sharing another something relating to that tonight, but also more in the using it as a prayer point, using it as a prayer point in this season. But before I go into this, the focus for tonight that we're going to use as a prayer point, I want to quickly mention something relating to, even though we as believers are praying for seasons of visitation, we're praying for seasons of miraculous fulfillment, acceleration, I want us to know that we are not the only ones that are preparing for this. We are not the only ones that are preparing for these times of visitation. There are other people on the other side that are also positioning themselves. They are also preparing. They are also looking forward to these times and seasons that we are about to come into, this new season that is about to come upon us. So people are also looking forward to that. For example, the times that we are in is also highly spoken of in the Bible. So we are not the only ones looking to it. The enemy also has his own people looking for how they will position themselves and manifest their own agenda in this season. For example, you know, now I don't want to say this to mean anything in any negative way about any denomination or any aspect of ministry that you serve, but I just want to bring this as a caution for us to pray and be vigilant about this time, because Jesus says in the last days the many will come in my name, and he also said there will be great deception. The first warning was that we'll be careful not to be deceived. So I'm not talking about any denomination or any group, but I just want to warn us about the times we are in as we are preparing also things. For example, if you go back to the beginning of February, you can go to the internet and look at the Pope Francis. Now I'm saying, if you're a Catholic, that shouldn't in any way bother you. You just need to focus on the Lord. I'm not saying anything about any denomination. Pope Francis, this February or earlier, signed a covenant with the highest, most respected imam from the Sunni tribe of Islam in Abu Dhabi. You can go read it and study it and see. Now, the covenant that was signed is an interfaith covenant. An interfaith, if you want to go, just all you need to do is pull up your website and say, click on interfaith and see the people that believe in interfaith. The interfaith, you will see that every known religion, every known society, every known thing is in that interfaith list. So there was an interfaith covenant that was made in Abu Dhabi by the Pope and the chief imam in the midst of the leading interfaith leaders in that conference. And you can go Google that, and you can study that, you can see that for yourself. Jesus warned about the last days and a lot of deceptions that will come, and that's leading to a one world religion. And the covenant was signed in the name of peace, you know, for the pursuit of peace, that, you know, basically all religion are serving one God, and you just serve God based on the way that your denomination says or your faith believes. But there should not be conflict, because it's everybody serving one God. Now, that's a covenant. If you go read it, covenant means covenant. You know what covenant means? It means you are really giving yourself, your life, everything that you believe, to say we are one, we're united on this principle. So that was done in February. So that's just for you to pray and study Matthew 24, study scriptures relating to the last days, and make your conclusions on what that will mean to you in regards to the season. Now, another thing you need to go look at, see, Jesus warned about the last day. He says, watch and pray. Now, watch and pray are two things, both spiritual soberness, vigilance, spiritually vigilant about the season we're in, the last days, but also is physical watching the signs of the time, so that you are not in any way overtaken by deception. The first thing is, take heed that you be not deceived. Many will come, and eventually signs and wonders will follow, you know. So I'm just wanting to bring this before you, just something to be praying about what we see in the last days. Because gay movement is legalized, you know, you should also study the days of Noah, you know, and see, you know, and all these things, how we are living in a very precarious time. So study that. I will also encourage you to go to the website of Josh McDowell. He's a very popular evangelical, and see one of his broadcasts or any of his broadcasts that has to do with the infection of pornography on the church world, on the church today. If you're able to look at that and see the level of crisis that we're facing in the church as believers, and actually that there are many things that are against the church, against the life of the church. But I want you to go to his website and study the statistics and information he has, especially on pornography in the church. So you can look at that. Pornography among ministers, pornography both male and female, and the effect, impact is having because of technology. So just those are signs of times, you know, because Jesus warns about the days of Noah. And then I want you also to go on the internet and look at something that is coming up in the news, and for prayer purpose, to watch and pray about what they call the deal of the century, the deal of the century by President Trump. So look at that from the right perspective and pray and see what that means to the season we're going into. This is regarding Israel, where Israel is going. And also for prayer purpose, Israel moved their election from September, October. They moved it forward to April. So Israel is going to have another election this April 9th. 9th April, Israel will be going towards electing a new prime minister and other things. So all those are just something you need to watch forward in this new season. We've entered a new season. Watch and pray over these things I mentioned. And then also for America, be praying before it comes out. Just be praying for God to have, for God's will to be done, and over America. That's what you pray for all the time. But pray that when this man finally releases his investigation, they call it the Mueller's investigation, that, you know, that probe that we're doing. Pray and be praying ahead of time that God will really intervene. Whatever the content is, that God will intervene and prevail, whatever the content is. So these are things that towards where, you know, America, the other one is towards Israel, the other one is towards the church world, and what's happening in that area. And of course, so just look into those things as we pray. I'm only sharing this to you because you're watchmen. And the last time when we were sharing, I told you things like the destiny, the future of any generation, any nation, the church is in the hands of intercessors. God responds to prayer of agreement on earth as it is in heaven. Intercessors carry the capacity to shape the destiny and the culture, the future of any generation. No matter the determination of the enemy, intercessors, they are the ones who partner with God to overthrow every plan of the enemy and enforce, establish the will of God on earth. So that's what I'm sharing with you, because we're talking about a new season. So I'm just, as watchmen, I'm just giving you an idea not to close your eyes over certain news item. As we pray for things in the spirit, also watch, Jesus called it signs of times. But as intercessors, for us to watch and pray as we enter this new season, because this new season we're entering into, we are going to experience an unprecedented shift in human history, prophetically. For example, there was a shift that started. Every generation had their own shift and what they brought in. Industrial Revolution brought their shift. Now we had the age of the computer, you know, that came, and now technology. Now we are going into such technological revolution that makes what we had in the past totally obsolete. But the past made an impact. So spiritually also, prophetically, like the children of Issachar, they studied the times. They understood the times, both spiritually and the momentum in the physical realm. And they were able to give instructions, and they were able to pray accordingly. So as watchmen, we cannot be praying spiritually and not watch on ground what is unfolding and where it's going. So just keep that in mind for prayer. Now, as we pray for visitations, prophetic breakthroughs that are coming, and celebration. So having said that, I want to share this other prayer point that is something that has to do with us, you know, and us looking forward to this new season. These are ways we're going to position ourselves for what is coming and where we're going. I want to read from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'll read verse 22, and then I'll go back and read verse 19. It says, verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation," the creation means both material and immaterial things, but means creation involving mankind in the world. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That is, in pain means it's like a butt pain. Creation has been going through butt pains, and you know, until now. Verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature or creation waits or waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the manifestation of the sons of God. So here it says creation is groaning. The everything God has created is groaning because of sin and the effect of unrighteousness that has entered into creation. But then in creation also has man inside of creation. So we are here on earth. And it says even when we are groaning, man is groaning. And it says, what are we groaning in pain? Meaning pain means man does not have peace. There is no peace in the earth because of sin, because of Satan, and because of the pain that it brings. The pain that sickness, poverty, bondage. If you study that pornography, you see the cry. You know, the percentage of people already that are in church, more or less the people in the world, you can see the level of bondage. Men have decided to legalize bondage just to give it approval so it will reduce the pain. And so much pain all over the world from different angles. That's why we have terrorism, we have all this stuff. So the man is groaning. The wickedness of men is growing because of the groaning, because of the pain. People that are in serious pain, after they come here, they afflict pain, they cause pain. So creation is groaning. Man is groaning. Why? Paul was writing here, he says in verse 19, he says, because they are crying out, they are groaning for an expectation, for the manifestation of an answer. They are crying out for a breakthrough. They are saying, I need a breakthrough. I don't know how to pray. Or if I pray, I don't really. God, they are just groaning, they are crying, they are groaning. And the word groaning means on words that cannot be uttered, that are coming out of the depths of your heart. What you cannot really, you don't know how to explain it, you don't know how to tell somebody, is inside of you and is a life that is almost giving you a hopeless feeling, a pain. The reason why is the suicide rate is escalated more than any generation in every country, and the technology has exposed man even more to more degradation and pain. So there are things people cannot express, even in church, especially in church. You know, there are things you can't even talk about, you can't bring up, like the bondage of pornography today that is held the church captive. It's not something to talk about. You know, we just close it, we cover it. The pain of what's going on in marriages that don't understand really the true revelation for love in marriage, and just so much pain. If you live in this world, even as believers, we all experience pain one way or the other. If we are not explaining ourselves, we are connected to somebody else that is going through it. Those that are able to pour out their pain. So there's so much groaning. But more so, or worst, for those who have not known Christ. Any and every religion that has not known, that is not born again or has access to Jesus, has access to the peace or the hope that Jesus brings, you can't even imagine the pain they go through. It doesn't even matter how they cover it in public or preach or do whatever. The pain they go through is worse than believers have a little bit of hope. We have hope. We have everything. We have the Holy Spirit. You couldn't imagine the pain, the torture. So everybody just puts out this outward appearance that looks like everything is good. But if you look at the chaos today, you see it's a manifestation of pain. So talking about pain, Paul says, but what are they groaning for? What is this unspeakable, unutterable pain everybody's going? What are they crying for? What are they groaning for? He says they are groaning and they are crying for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's amazing. So what does that mean? Of course, that's a long teaching subject, but just for today, he said they are crying for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, that word, if you click it, sons, means matured sons of God. Not just those who were just born, but matured sons of God. So if we read that scripture, it will be hard for us to understand the kind of the image of the sons of God they are talking about. What is these sons of God they are crying for? Because basically they are saying they are crying because they are waiting, they are expecting breakthrough. They are looking for breakthrough. They are looking for solution. They are looking for peace. They are looking for healing. They are looking for somebody to bring them out of bondage, out of oppression, out of depression, out of crisis, to bring restoration, to bring peace, to bring reconciliation. Whatever that has caused the brokenness, they are looking for somebody that can bring or open the door for things to be fixed in their life, family, or whatever, the society. So that's the essence of groaning. That's what they're groaning for. But Paul said the whole solution lies in the revelation and manifestation of the sons of God. Wow. So, having said that, it will take a long breaking down to come back to sonship to explain that. But we'll just use some illustration in the Old Testament to paint a picture of an idea of a son, a matured son, a matured son. The first example I want to use is Moses, and then we'll go from there. I want to use in the Old Testament somebody who experienced a place of maturity in the call of God and the assignment of God upon their life. In Exodus chapter 3, let me read Exodus chapter 2 first. Verse 23, it says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel, they sighed." That word sighed there means they groaned by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had compassion or pity or respect unto them. Then Exodus 3, I'll go to read verse 7 says, "And the Lord said," that is 3 verse 1 to 6, was God has called Moses now. He called Moses. And he said, "Moses," and he laid out some things here. And then verse 6 says, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry, their groanings, by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their pain, I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them." And he goes forth, not just to deliver them, but to bring them into a place of rest, into a place of refreshing, to a place of breakthrough, and a place of destiny, a place of purpose and destiny. Now, in the Old Testament, you all know the story. Egypt was a house of bondage. It was a place of bondage. And there were tax masters there. And then the children of Israel were in Egypt. And they were really under severe bondage, or what we call slavery, bondage. So, you all know the story. God promised to bring them out. God promised to bring them out. But how will God bring them out? For God to bring them out, they are all children of Israel. They can come out of it. God had to find somebody, Moses, brought him out of Egypt first, then took him through 40 years of absolutely taking Egypt out of him. and then giving him character that is completely now totally dependent on God. And when Moses has come to this place of maturity, meaning he's now too weak for self, he's now totally vulnerable for God's use. When he came to this place, God now visited him. So God took him out of Egypt, removed Egypt from him, and then now God filled him with himself. And now God now sending him back to Egypt to deliver the people. But Moses, before God sent him, realized, I cannot do this. I cannot go back. I cannot do it. Then God says, I will surely go with you. And then God anointed him and went with him. And then God told him this, I have heard their cry. I have heard their cry. And I'm come down to deliver them. I'm coming to visit them. And I'm coming to deliver them and to bring them out of the place of bondage. God used somebody. Who did he use? He used Moses. So, we're going to look, you can see the same thing with Joseph. Joseph, God gave him a dream, gave him a vision, but God also had to walk him through a process to crucify him, his flesh, and then brought him to a place of maturity and then anointed him to answer that call. And Joseph became an answer to that generation. And God used Joseph to bring deliverance in a time of crisis, a time of chaos, a time when people would have died of food, died of famine, they would have cried out, but God used him to be a deliverer, a vessel. God used Moses to be a deliverer. God used David at a young age when, Goliath frustrated Israel and put them in a desperate position. They cried, God used David to bring relief and deliverance from them going back into slavery of the Philistines. So you can see all through the Bible, God used people who, first of all, set themselves apart. Consecrated themselves. They didn't just live like everybody. They recognized the condition that the generations is in. They recognized the call of God on their life. They set themselves apart for God to empty them of self, or at least to crucify or to prepare them. Then when they set themselves apart, then God now visited them, filled them, empowered them, and they became vessels of mercy. The release of God's mercy and grace to their generation. So here in the New Testament, Jesus is the ultimate example. And then Jesus left us an example to follow. And the early apostles laid that example. And then Paul came. And then Paul wrote that, what I just read to you in Romans, that God is looking for people who will come out of the world after they are born again, consecrate themselves, give themselves to the Lord, and giving themselves to the Lord in the place of prayer, consecration, and then wait until God approves them and then release them as an answer to a generation. So basically, what I'm sharing tonight is this. In every generation, Psalms 24 talks about it. This is the generation that receives a blessing from the Lord. In every generation, there are people that must pay the price. They must deny themselves of what the thing that has taken a lot of people away from that place of consecration. They must seek after the Lord. They must have clean hands and a clean heart. They will give themselves through what it takes to become that son and that daughter that is, their heart is towards the call of God and their burden is towards how to see a generation free. But they come to a place where they know, I can't do it. It's not me that's going to do it. There's nothing in me that can do it. But I know God can do it. And the give themselves to God to make that happen. But what happens is this, these people, during their times of preparation, after they've given themselves, during their times of purification, during the times God is walking them through wilderness, through the various aspects of brokenness in their life to mature them, it just looks like nothing is working. It just looks like nothing, their prayers are not being answered, because that's what wilderness is. It just looks like everybody else is having fun, everything else is happening, but they don't seem to get anything. But they keep praying, they keep faithful, they keep being faithful. That's what we shared last week. That's what we've been sharing. So the reason I brought this now is this. Everything I shared last week and we've been sharing is to bring me to this point. You on this line, you the intercessors, you that have been praying for a long time, you that have lived years and years, sometimes you've not even seen a major breakthrough you're praying for, but you never stop praying. You that have seen, gone through so much, lost so much, endured so much, suffered so much, lacked so much, but still, breakthrough here and there, but still, you have not let go on the altar of prayer, on the altar of intercession, crying out for the nation, crying out for the church, crying out for God. You just carry this burden, and still people are wondering, why do you still keep praying? What is your prayer doing? What's going on? But you're still committed, you're still praying. I want you to know, just like this Moses I talked about, just like Joseph, just like all these people we mentioned, Paul said, the world is groaning. Even the church people are groaning. For what? The manifestation. He didn't say a son, for the sons of God. Those that God has been preparing, those that have been waiting on God. And you are. I'm not just saying only you. There are people like you all over in different parts of the world that has been living out what you've been living out. What I want to tell you tonight is, you are that answer to prayer. You have made yourself an answer to prayer. The cries that what we're hearing about sex slavery and all these things, all these groanings that we have ministries reaching out to them in various ways. My brothers and sisters, you are that answer. You are the answer to the groaning of this generation, to the silent tears of this generation, to the cruel mockery and the intense demonic activity that is afflicting so many behind their closed doors. The wrath of Satan that is sitting on so many people, but they don't have an answer. Crying from every corner of this nation, even in church. Your prayers, your obedience, your years of praying, your years of waiting, in spite, you are the answer. And your season has come. Now, because of your prayers and because of your years of waiting, you are going to be like that Zachariah. You are going to be like that Moses. You are going to be like that Joseph. You are going to be like these people in the Bible. God is going to visit people in this season, this new season. And the visitations that are coming will bring special encounters in your life. A breakthrough is coming to you, but the breakthrough is just to come and bring relief to you. But God is, this breakthrough, these visitations will usher in a new anointing. And this anointing will respond to all these groanings. That is not going to be by power of my might. You are not going to do anything. This anointing is going to respond. And we are going to see a move of God, a relief, a restoration, a healing, to this silent groaning of our generation. Salvation will be like we've never known before. Miracles will be so common. Everything you've prayed for, you've never seen, or that we've never seen for over 100 years, you've never seen since you were born, but you paid the price, you're going to see it. I want to encourage you tonight to make this your prayer point. I started sharing some very serious things happening on the other side because I wanted to end by telling you, no matter what is happening out there, no matter what Satan or Pharaoh was doing and the taskmaster was doing, when Moses came back to town, that was all they needed to see. When Joseph was in that position, things changed. So my brothers and sisters, when the Davids show up, when the Daniels take their place, things change. And you are that. Because now is the sons of God, not those individuals here and there and there. So because of this prophetic season we're coming into, and because of all the things that will be coming along with it, I want to encourage you. Take this word seriously and pray even more. And consecrate yourself more. Position yourself more. And cry out to God to really visit you. To really embrace. To take this word and bring it before the Lord. That your servant said that you're going to visit that. So God, I'm expecting a visitation. I'm expecting a deliverance. I'm expecting a breakthrough. I'm expecting this. And I'm expecting what I just shared. Now, your prayer will be, make me an answer. Make me a vessel that is one of the vessels that you've prepared for this generation as an answer to the cry, the groaning of this generation. That's who you are. But covenant, agree with God to release you and to make you that answer. So my brothers and sisters, thank you. Thank you so much for enduring. Thank you so much for waiting. Thank you so much for all these years. I want to let you know, this new season, God will remember you. God will remember you. So be encouraged, be strengthened, but please pray and position yourself and watch and pray. Amen. Father, thank you so much that after so many years of mockery, the church has been mocked. Your people that seek you, that serve you with all diligence, are mocked because heaven has been closed. There's been no rain. Father, a lot of mockery, a lot of laughter, a lot of shame, a lot of things as if they are asking, where is their God? But Father, thank you that those who have paid the price, just the price for the sake of the growing of a generation, will now begin to receive. Father, this season we are going in, entering this 2019, you will bring refreshing and you will bring comfort and consolation. That there is no man or woman that ever sought God in vain that was not rewarded. Thank you. Your time has come to reward your people. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name.